Dr. Cade North. Doctor, thank you for being with us here on Talk of Connecticut. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. We're talking about, sleep for the last few minutes before the break. And, why are people losing sleep? And Brad had asked me a question. He goes, well, he asked me, why do you think people are losing sleep more now than ever? And the answer that I gave him, I didn't read any study. This is strictly off the top of my head. I'm glad that you're on so that you can set us straight here. The answer that I gave to him is, I said, stress. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely. That's what I said, too.
Well, certainly. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think that is. And I also think that just in our culture, we have a way of just sort of expecting that things are going to go well. Things are going to turn out great for us. And then when things don't go well, that it just seems very wrong and causes tons of stress because mm-hmm. we think, oh my gosh, this terrible thing is happening that shouldn't be happening, when really, life is just life, and sometimes those bad things can actually be excellent opportunities for growth and to turn into even better things and turn yourself into a better person
sure.
than you were before.
And life has a way of just throwing you curveballs.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes, and
sure.
this book, Until Death Do Us Apart, is a book that's about one of the world's biggest curveballs, and it's based on a true story. And it's, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but let's just say that something that's extraordinarily shocking happens in Noah, the main character's personal life, and she has to deal with that and decide if she's going to be a victim or if she's going to rise above it and how she's going to handle it. Mm. And so with that, it's that whole theme of, learning resilience from pain, taking bad news and using it as fuel, a fertilizer, if you will, so that you can grow into something better.
Right, but that can be easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that this book absolutely captures the essence of that, about the struggle and how the main character deals with it is oftentimes finding the humor in the absurdity of what's happening.
Right.
And because she finds that if she can make her friends laugh or whenever she's telling them about this crazy thing that's happened in her personal life, that suddenly it doesn't quite seem so bad. Hmm. And with that, it's, yeah, because at first when something bad happens, you're asking yourself, okay, how do I survive this? And, you don't have to immediately ask yourself, oh, how do I grow out of this? No, just how do you survive? And then oftentimes that turns into how do I thrive from there?
Yeah. Don't you, in this day and age that we live right now, I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. Don't you think that the number of American adults that are losing sleep lose it over the trouble that they're having just dealing with what's going on? Don't you think that's a big part of their life now?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that that fear and that stress comes from feeling like you have no control over a situation. Mm. And when you feel like you have no control, it's just, you feel helpless, you feel like a victim. And so sometimes that means creating your own control and asking yourself, okay, well, what can I do in this situation? And in this, in the case of the story, the main character has no control over the situation. So she starts writing these little, well, it starts with journaling and then turns into these little fictionalized stories about what's happening so she can control the outcome in the story. But the fact is, like, okay, well, when something crazy happens, what can I control? And it's like, okay, well, if you're, upset about, hearing about stories about people mistreating animals, then volunteer a little bit of time at an animal shelter, or, just do what you can control. You can't fix all the world's problems, but there are small things that you can do to help and know that in your heart you are you know, being a force for good. You are working to make things better as opposed to just, you know, throwing up your hands and saying, oh, I'm a victim, you know, the whole world. Terrible,
sure.
You know.
What is the name of this book?
Oh, it's called Until Death Do Us Apart. Not part, but apart. And so, yeah, and like I said, it's, you know, about a young woman who, a single parent who gets some devastating news from, about her fiance and, receives this news from the world's worst possible person that you could get bad news, which is her ex-husband. And, anyway, and it's just a story about, not just surviving, but thriving and doing it with humor and, yeah, and you can, you know, order it at bookstores or on Amazon.com, or if you visit KateNorth.com, you can, there's a link there on the website.
It sounds a little like The Marvelous Miss Maisel a little bit. Personal relationships, I would think, are also something that would keep people up at night.
Well, absolutely, because relationships are hard, and it's, you know, especially, you know, the more intimate ones, and when I was a girl or even a young woman, I thought that if you made good choices, that everything just turned out beautifully in relationships.
Yeah, well.
And what I didn't account for is that the other person makes choices and they're not always good, and you can't control that.
Very
and
good point.
And that's what makes relationships so crazy sometimes, is like you can make all the good decisions you want, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the person you're with is going to make those choices.
Yeah.
And so with that, it's like, okay, well, am I okay with this choice? You know, where are my boundaries? You know, is this too much for me to take, or how am I going to cope with this?
Yeah.
So, and that's where the challenge lies.
Wow.
Don't you though, at any time, have a driving force if you want one? If you want a driving force to do this, to do that, can't you do it and make it happen? I think you can.
Ooh.
Your will.
I mean,
maybe it's your, is it your will?
That's a good word. That's a very
good word.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I think to some extent, yes. And I think that's an excellent question, because I think that the main character in the story is very much a person that is used to, you know, being the driving force in her own life. You know, when you're a single parent and you get a PhD, you know, you're used to making things happen even under difficult circumstances. And when you're used to that, when you're used to hoop jumping just as the norm, you kind of start to get this feeling like, oh yes, I can, you know, control everything and drive the way my life turns out. But then there are just some things that are beyond your control.
Exactly.
And you have to figure out how you're going to work in that framework, that context, because you can't always.
Well, for example, sickness, for example.
Well, yeah, sickness, for example, or like we use the example of relationships. Say your partner makes a choice that in your mind is completely unacceptable. You know, it's a deal breaker. Then you have choices to make. You know, it's like, okay, well, I can't control what they did, but I have to decide how I'm going to react in this situation.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. When something is outside of the boundaries of your own control, what is that old saying there? If you with lemons, if you make lemonade, right? If you, I'm saying it wrong. I know that.
Or if you get a lot of
lemonade
on, you turn it into fertilizer. You know?
Okay, like, fertilizer.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you can, you know, you can take something bad and eventually turn it into something good. And same with, but the reason why I actually prefer the fertilizer analogy is because, or metaphor, is because it oftentimes, when you know bad things happen, it feels like it's just a terrible thing, and there's no way to turn it.
Oh, it's the end of the world, right?
Like it's just something that, you know. And I think there comes a point. I think in everyone's life, we have times when we get to, you know, we play the person in distress, the damsel in distress, and then there are other times when we can be the hero. But the trick is, you don't get to decide when you're a victim, but you do get to choose when you're the hero. And sometimes in your own life, you can't, being a hero isn't waiting, or being the damsel in distress doesn't mean you have to wait for the hero to come rescue you, because a lot of times you have to be your own hero.
And as much as I agree with you, Doc, I really do. However, for the individual who is going through that crisis or dilemma, in that given moment, it's very difficult to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and dust yourself off and get right back up on that horse, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's, you have to give yourself permission to crumble a little bit, to mourn, you know, to be a hot mess for a minute.
So
you know, it's okay. It's okay to feel those emotions.
How do you navigate yourself through that process? And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm short on time, and there's a couple of questions I still want to get to you, with you. How do you navigate yourself through that process?
Well, I think the biggest thing is when you're feeling completely overwhelmed, you don't have to have the answer in that moment. And that's where a lot of people just, you know, throw up their hands. But I think, and go back to my fertilizer analogy, and this is where fertilizer, it has to be seasoned, right? Sometimes you have to wait. You have to pause in the pain and wait for the right answer to arrive on its own.
And not
squeeze it from yourself when it's just not there yet.
Disposition has a lot to do with this, I would imagine. If it's either,
oh, absolutely. And I think if you can laugh a little bit at life and how ridiculous it is sometimes.
Oh,
that
sure.
That's a huge lifesaver.
Attitude, but everybody's attitude is different, you know, and going through this process would be different for different people, I would imagine. There are some people who are just have a natural positive outlook on life, and then there's the Debbie Downers of the world, and or who find it much more convenient to wallow in their own misery. And they're not completely happy or satisfied until they make those around them as miserable, if not more miserable, than they themselves are. You know, misery is that old. Now, there's a saying I remember: misery loves company. You know,
we all do.
No, but we aspire, though, in the big picture of it, Doc. We aspire to be like this person, you know, who can look at every dilemma that life throws at them as a challenge that they can overcome. In a perfect world, we'd all be like that. But it is easier said than done.
Right. So I think the first thing that you do is, you know, besides, obviously, you know, feel those emotions, be sad, be a hot mess. That's fine. But then sometimes, you know, you need to reach out to your tribe, you know, your closest friends or, you know, people that love you unconditionally. And you have to lean on them sometimes when you're not feeling strong. Because no matter how strong you are or how brave you are or how optimistic you are, you can't always, you know, summon that up in a moment of crisis. So leaning on those other people, is essential, I think, to survival and to, you know, being happy and healthy. And, you know, they can lend you their strength for a little while.
You know, I have a slogan. I've had it all my life. And it's, you can always take the hill. You can always take the hill, no matter what. You can defeat it and you can take it.
Interesting. Okay. So, but then that begs the question, how?
Well, you also have another saying, Brad, and that is, take care of yourself. You couldn't do it for a better person. And I think that ties into one's attitude in life, you know, where you have to take care. No one's going to take better care of you than you, physically or mentally. So wallow in your grief, however, you know, hopefully it doesn't last too long, but feel those emotions. Doc, as you had said, that it's, you've more or less validated that it's okay to do that. But you should not prolong that process of healing. And attitude, I would imagine, just has everything to do with how quickly you're able to take a bad situation or a sad situation and make it better and make it right.
Right. And I think when you're going through times of crisis, it's being high-minded is not is not on your radar very often. And so, like, after you experience the initial shock and the pain of everything, I think the next step is, okay, well, what do I need to take care of myself in this moment? Mm. And oftentimes, that is the most, you answer with the most basic things. Okay, check with yourself. Have I gotten enough sleep? Have I eaten today? And make sure you're meeting your basic needs, because in points of crisis, that's when we start ignoring those self-care things, those very, very basic self-care things.
Yeah.
And until you're meeting those basic self-care things, there's no way you're going to be able to, you know, think about higher, more, you know, grandiose ideas and try to help yourself and on kind of a higher level.
Yeah.
So I think meeting those basic needs is the first step right after you grieve.
And personal finances, I would imagine that's something else that keeps people up at night.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I'm not an expert in personal finance, but, you know, I would say that, you know, the same sort of things apply where, you know, you're feeling stressed out about it, you're upset. Okay, well, first you have to take care of yourself before you can find a solution.
Yeah.
And you can find a solution, but you can't do it if you haven't slept and you haven't eaten and, you know, you're just not well.
Until death do us part. Until death do us apart. Apart. Yes. That's a really cool title.
No, thank you so much.
Until death do us apart. Where is this book sold?
You can order it in bookstores or on Amazon.com. And or if you visit CadeNorth.com, there's a link on the website to order it there, too.
Until death do us apart is the name of the book. Dr. Cade North, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
No, it really is ours. You gave some great advice.